Welcome to the Rewild Gear Podcast. Modern life, society, and responsibilities have domesticated us. But now it's time to rediscover your adventurous side. Whether that's camping, hiking, hunting, fishing, or just spending time in the great outdoors, this is the podcast for you. Join us as we get back to the wilderness and rewild. Welcome to the Rewild Gear Podcast, Deer Camp Edition.
Recap.
This is the recap. So we've been hunting all weekend, boys. It's been a good time so far.
It has been a good time.
A great time.
We've seen a ton of deer. The outcome has not been what we would have expected.
Based off the quantity that we have seen.
The amount of deer.
There should have been a lot more.
We've seen a shit ton of deer.
I mean, you guys have. I have not.
You haven't seen that many?
No.
Really?
We saw a backside.
I've seen the backside of one deer.
Called backside a couple deer.
I've seen one deer run. Well, I think that was the same deer. So possibly three.
So you've seen one deer total.
One complete deer.
One complete deer and two half deers.
Not even a half.
A quarter.
Not even a half.
A quarter of a deer. All right. Well, let's get into some stories about what we've seen so far. So we're recording this on Sunday evening. So, you know, 2 days into deer camp and, you know, we're still continuing to hunt, but, you know, opening weekend is always like the thing.
The thing. Yeah.
It's, you know, it's what we look forward to every year. It's where we hang out. We hunt a lot. We eat really good. We drink even better. And we tell stories and kick each other's ass and just have a good time and test out a lot of gear and stuff too. So yesterday morning, we all got up bright and early, except for my son, my oldest son, Tony, decided that he was going to sleep in and not actually go out for opening morning. Well, as a 14-year-old is wont to do, he thought the sleep was more important. So good for him. Because the funny thing is, he's the only one that's got a deer this weekend so far. So, you know, we're hunting my property and it's, you know, 55 acres and we got stands set up all over and we kind of just spread out. So I saw a lot of deer opening morning.
How many do you think you saw?
I saw five or six, maybe. You know, there was a big buck that I probably should have taken. I was glassing him with my binoculars and he had nice big tines. I couldn't see how I waited and I didn't shoot him because I wanted him to turn so I could see how wide they were, how wide the rack was. Cause we're really trying to do a better job of management and to make sure that we're just shooting older deer and not just younger ones, no matter how big they are. Cause you know, let the bigger deers get bigger and grow older and so they can produce more offspring and everything and produce even better genetics and better deer. So he was a good looking deer, big buck, really long tines, like an 8-pointer, I think. But I couldn't see how wide the spread was and to really tell how old he was and all that. So because of that, I didn't shoot him and I tried to call him in further, like the grunt and then a rattle, and then he just kept going though. So didn't get him in.
And then tough loss.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, that's the first deer I saw. So when that's the first thing, it's like, there's going to be more because we caught a lot of big ones on camera. Old
but
Brown.
Do you abide by, there's a theory that you should be okay with, or it's don't pass up a deer that you'd be okay shooting on the last day. What do you think about that?
Repeat that question.
Okay. So.
And pass the bourbon.
So, don't pass up the deer or whatever the animal is that you're hunting that you'd be okay taking on the last day of your hunt.
That's not really fair, though.
I know. It's because, a tough question.
I mean, because if you've been hunting for 2 weeks straight and you haven't gotten anything, you'd take anything, right?
I know, it's a gamble.
I mean, it's always a gamble. Yeah, no, I mean, in hindsight, I probably should have taken him. But, you know, it was the first year that I saw. And so,
yeah, true.
Just, you know, a little hesitant and, you know, being picky. There's nothing wrong with that.
I'm being picky. And as long as he survives the next, you know, year, he'll be there for us next year.
Yeah. Well, yep. And bigger. That's the plan.
Hopefully.
Yeah. So, you know, we can get into a few more of the deer that I saw a little bit. But I mean, yeah. But basically, I saw a lot of little spike bucks. A lot of little two, and like 4-pointers, some very small 6-pointers, but like good size 4-pointers. But, you know, there's some of those just little yearlings, 1.5, 2.5-year-old bucks that, you know, we're just not going to take. But
yeah.
I saw the majority of those and a few does, but mostly those little bucks. Adam, let's hear.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've probably seen, I don't know, overall since I first got here, 7 or 8.
7 or 8.
And now some of those are not a full deer in regard, like in regards to my angle. Like
you saw a quarter deer.
I saw a quarter deer. I saw the backside of a couple running from me. but there, I mean, there's a couple that I potentially had a shot on, but they were not big enough.
Yeah.
Therefore, I'd...
You know. That, bucks or does, or both?
One was a buck.
Okay.
How big a buck?
Not big enough. Probably maybe 5 or 6-pointer.
Yeah.
So, and then I think 3 or 4 does. But then again, those guys... Well, 2 of them, one of me and you saw, Dave.
Oh, yeah.
Together,
yeah,
but
that,
it...
Yeah, that was the
it
only
was in, a,
full
in the thicket. We couldn't really... Neither of us had a shot on
no, yeah.
where it was.
Yeah,
and then we saw the other one take off.
So this is when you guys were hunting together?
This is when we were together.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which stand were you at there?
We're at Cassman's Rock.
Yeah. Cassman's Rock.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which they, I mean, we were facing down over the, you know, in the look, but
yeah,
they came from behind us, so we had to turn around, which was towards.
Well, that's an odd place for them, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know if something.
I kind of yeah. Maybe they were startled by something. Yeah. It was as if they were on their way somewhere.
When
else,
I was
though,
hiking the upper trail last week, I bumped a couple does that were down like in that area.
Yeah.
So probably right around there. And those were does that you saw?
Those
yeah.
two.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Those two were. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, but I think I've seen probably 3. Just in regards to walking from either point A to point B or along the trail.
Yeah, but you're notorious for that.
Yeah, they always true. Come when I'm not ready. And
on the trail.
And when I first was driving up, I saw the one when I was getting here that morning, or that evening, that's right. I guess. And then the next morning when I woke up, literally 50 yards in front of
the
front door.
Buck right outside the cabin.
Yeah. Buck was out there in front of the cabin. I could have.
Just hanging out?
Yeah. He literally just he sat there and stared at me for a minute. It was like, what are you doing here?
All that sounds great.
But
way better than just one.
Yeah, well, I'm holding out for tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
There's always tomorrow.
That's right.
Yeah.
Always tomorrow.
Yeah.
No, I think there's a big difference from being in the stand from where I was hunting. So kind of some backstory. My son, who is 6, this was his first year coming, so we had fun. We didn't see much, but
he might like to talk a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, like, very interested in it. Had a good time, but he actually was with us when we saw that one doe.
Yeah, that's
right. Which he was pretty pumped about. But
What did he say?
He's like, I can't believe we saw a deer. He's like, I can't either, bud. He's like, are we gonna shoot it? I'm like, well, can't really right now, but he was super excited about seeing it. But now the box where we hunted each or both mornings, we just didn't see anything. Like I guess yesterday evening before the sun went down, we heard some stuff behind us, but never really saw anything. So, I don't know. They just weren't out in that field much.
Yeah.
And just, I guess not much. There's really not much cover there.
You'd think that they would be out there feeding though. And so I'm really surprised we're not seeing more out there.
I don't know why. I don't know if they're just going after all the acorns in the woods or
that's
what.
That's my guess, is because there are such a bumper crop of acorns and everything else that they're just in the woods hanging out, just eating there. And even though, because we've been putting food out there as well.
Right.
The corn's gone. I mean, so they've been eating it.
Yeah, it's true.
But I mean, I wonder if they're just coming through like late at night or something, because we don't have a camera out there, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. Could have something to do with the lunar phases.
Yeah.
Maybe. Who knows? You know, maybe. I did walk to the other side of that field where there's still some tall grass.
Which end of the field?
Left to the corner. And there's definitely a place where they've been walking and bedding down.
Yeah, like if you walk down
by the river. There's a trail that actually went down to the
trail.
Yep.
Yeah, see, yeah, coming up where I saw the back of one.
Yeah, it looks like they've been bedding down there too.
Yes. I walked all through there at one point, hoping someone would pop up and take off. Nothing. But they clearly are hanging out there.
Yeah.
At some point. We just haven't seen them.
Yeah, so that was Saturday. Yesterday.
Yeah.
So we saw quite a few deer. So yesterday evening, me and my younger son, Joey, we were down what we call Double Trouble. That kind of backs onto the creek. And we saw 6 deer. I mean, we saw a couple does.
You've seen a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen close to 20 deers in the past 2 days. So there's seen a lot so far. Yeah, so we saw a couple, and he really wanted to take one.
You sent that video of the buck walking underneath you.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. I've never had that happen before. So that was yesterday.
Yeah, that was cool.
It was opening morning. So after the big buck that I saw, and then there was a doe, and then there was another little buck, and then there was this little 4-point that he's coming in from behind. Obviously, I'm not going to shoot this guy. He's just too small. And so I'm like, I'm just going to video him. So I just pull on my phone and I'm videoing this guy. He's coming in. He's like right under my stand. Just keeps going. I could have jumped out of the stand on his back and slit his throat and killed him and eaten him. And he had no idea he was there. Just not paying attention. Just looking for food and just running along. So, yeah, that was pretty wild. I never had that happen before. Yeah, if I was bow hunting, that would have been a dream come true.
Yeah, that would be perfect.
For sure. But, you know, rifle hunting is a different story. Way too easy there.
Would you have taken him with your bow?
No, he's too small. No, I mean, I'm too picky for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely not. No, I'm either going to get a big doe or a big buck. So I don't want little deer. I want more meat and bighorns. So I like
The one Tony killed, I mean, the antlers weren't that big, but he was just a big body deer.
Yeah, well, let's come back to that one.
Yeah.
So we'll tell that story in a minute. Okay, so yeah, so yesterday evening, I was in the double stand with me and Joey, and we're hanging out there, and we're seeing a few coming through, a lot more than I was actually expecting. But it was all like in the span of about an hour, you know, getting later in the evening, he really wanted to shoot one, so I let him take the rifle, but he just couldn't get it lined up, and so. Didn't get anything then, but we had a good time.
Joey had one like in sight?
In sight, but it was just distance-wise, it was a little far, and he just hasn't practiced that much. So unless it's really close, and it was my heavier rifle, it would be a lot harder. He couldn't really bounce it.
That'd be tough.
How old is Joey? He's only...
He's 11.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The rifle is not... That's not little,
no,
little thing
it's
to be thrown around.
It's a heavy bull barrel, so you know, you should bring a couple out. And the thing's a tack driver, so I mean, I've killed a lot of deer with that gun. My good old Remington 700.
Good rifle.
Yeah, so at the same time, when I was down there at the Double Trouble stand, Adam, where were you?
Well, I was probably, let's see, if you were Double Trouble, I might have been at Christmas at that point.
Were you? You were at the Christmas stand?
Yeah, but it was not Christmas time for me, unfortunately.
And the reason the stand is called Christmas is because we shot so many deer from the stand. It's like Merry Christmas to you whenever you sit there. You're getting a present.
Took shape how many years ago?
I think that was
wasn't it the first year?
The first year that we had deer camp.
It was, wasn't it?
It was the first year.
Yeah, who named it? Dave, was you?
I think Josh did.
No, didn't was Josh. It Josh?
I thought it was Josh.
The brother that is not here.
I think.
Josh
I think
named it Christmas. Did he shoot a deer out of that stand?
I thought he did.
Yeah, I thought.
I can't remember.
I thought the majority of us got a deer out of that stand.
I did not. I have not gotten a deer from that stand yet.
You haven't? Okay. So you and Josh did?
Yeah.
And so I got one out of Double Trouble, and you got one walking down the trail, right?
No, the one I got was when I was with Dave.
With, in Double Trouble.
In Double Trouble.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. That was,
but you did shoot one for Christmas another year.
Yeah, the following year I did. Yeah. Yep, the big buck that I got.
Yeah, that's right.
That was a big buck.
So needless to say, that place is usually like Christmas coming early.
Yeah.
Majority of the time.
Just move through there all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a good stand.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure. What else we got? Well, okay. Let's fast forward to today. So this morning, it rained a lot last night.
That's what it was. It ruined our morning.
It's been so weird.
Yeah, really weird. The weather got weird. It just came a
super windy
storm last night. Yeah, it was like super windy, and then it just poured for about 4 hours, and then stopped raining. It was just really windy, so we didn't hunt this morning. We went out about what, noon, maybe 11:30,
yeah, 12. Yeah, it's about 11:30 actually,
something like that.
Yeah.
So, where were you guys hunting at?
Let's see. Well, I had to go.
Actually, Dave, you didn't hunt this morning.
I didn't hunt this morning, yeah.
You had to go deal with a flat tire.
I went to Boundary, didn't I?
Yeah, you went out to the Boundary stand. Yeah,
because I hadn't been there yet.
Yeah. Then Dad and Tony were...
in the front?
Where'd they go? Were they at the front stand, I think?
No. They went...
where'd they go? They got done a double trouble?
I think they were a double trouble, actually.
Yeah, they went down a double trouble. And me and Joey were at Casman's Rock...
Yeah.
And we saw three deer. First, we saw a big doe. She was just kind of trotting through. And so I have a grunt call. And so I was trying to, I started blowing on that, trying to get her to stop because Joey wanted to shoot her. And I wanted him to have an opportunity to shoot. And she didn't stop. And then all of a sudden, here's a big buck coming on her, right hot on her trail. Big 8-pointer, and he's not stopping either. And Joey just couldn't get her. Get him
that was today. Sane.
Yeah, that was this afternoon.
Golly, I just want to see a deer.
he couldn't get him sighted in to take the shot. So then about an hour later, here comes another one of those little 4-point bucks. You know, these little spike bucks that we've been seeing all weekend comes through, and I'm like, Joey, there it is. If you want it, go ahead and take it. I mean, you know, we don't normally shoot them that small. But, you know, he's 11 for his first year. If he can take it, sure. And he just couldn't get it lined up in the sight quick enough to take it. And so he got out of his sight and just kept going. So he didn't get to pull the trigger. But so that's all we saw this morning this afternoon, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think I saw anything at that point.
Did you not?
No. Okay. Today's been a slow day for me.
Yeah, it was windy, though.
Yeah.
I think it was kind of warm. This afternoon.
Yeah, it was warmer, windy.
Have you guys heard the I can't remember what the percentage is, but it's like if you don't get a deer opening morning, like your chance of getting a deer drops like significantly.
I call bullshit that. Because I've never taken one opening.
I don't know if it's true or not, and I can't remember the exact numbers.
I don't remember.
Have you heard that before?
I don't think that's true. I don't remember the percentages, but
I've never actually taken one on opening morning.
Never?
Nope. Never. It's always been like opening afternoon.
Or
Sunday morning or something like that. Yeah, never opening Saturday opening morning of rival season. Have not.
Maybe it's not a real statistic.
It may not be. I don't know. I've never actually looked at it.
I never heard that. Interesting.
Yeah. I thought it was kind of interesting.
Yeah. So then let's fast forward to this evening. So I was hunting Christmas with Tony, my older son. And
then I took Joey back down to Boundary.
Yeah, you and Joey were down at the
little blind.
Stand. Yep. Well, you guys did use the little blind.
We did.
Okay. So,
did you guys really?
Yeah. So we got this new blind. It's who makes
it's like
that?
It's like a little pop up blind.
Yeah. Well, it's not a pop up blind. It's almost like a little pop up fence.
Really. Yeah. It's like a little roof? Camo picket fence. No, you set up in the woods and hide behind.
little camo picket fence. That's a good way to look at it. No, it's got like these little spike things that go in the ground.
And then it extends up. So it's probably like okay. 2 feet off the ground after you pull it up.
So that's what you guys used at the Boundary?
That Joey and I were using that this afternoon.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense.
It gives you like a little...
just a little cover kind
of? Yeah, a little bit of cover. It's camoed. It has holes in it so the wind can blow through.
Yeah, I kind of like it because you can literally just set it wherever.
It's really cool. It's a lot easier than just like a pop-up blind.
Mm-hmm. That makes more sense because I was confused how you and Joey were hunting the Boundary.
Yeah. Well, it's so thick over there.
And it's so thick that I could actually see a little better being on the ground. Yeah.
You really makes need sense. If you don't have binoculars over there, you're at a very big disadvantage, though.
Yes.
Huh. It makes it tough. So you guys were over there.
Yeah, and we definitely heard stuff over there, but
you didn't see
again,
it?
Yeah.
Did you try to call or grunt
anything? We did.
And anything?
Not that we saw.
Okay.
I don't know. I think there's some things on the other side of the fence. I'm pretty sure.
Gotcha.
That we couldn't get to.
Yeah, it could happen.
The boundary.
But, you know.
Yep. That's what's called the boundary stand because it's the boundary of the property. And David, you were hunting at
Old Metal. Yeah.
So
which I saw, or I didn't see. I heard some stuff that, which I'm curious when you guys started seeing Tony's buck.
That's the only deer we saw.
That was it? Okay. Because there was something in between, I think, where you guys were hunting and where Old Metal is.
Okay.
That I never actually saw. So I don't know if it went your guys' direction or if it, but I, like I said, I never got an eye on it.
I don't know. So we had been out there. Trying to think what time we got out there. It was when did we all start head out? It was about three. A little before three, a little after.
No, I think I got three, back here at like 3:30 maybe is what time I got here.
I
and you guys were already out there.
I think we went to the stands around 3:20 actually.
Okay. Yeah. So let's say we got in the stand about 3:30 and you got out here. Yeah. Just shortly after we had left, I think. So we didn't see that. We've been up there probably close to an hour. Hadn't seen anything. I mean, I was starting to get a little tired, a little discouraged because so.
Oh yeah, was that you or at someone was like, has anyone seen anything since what like noon or something?
I can't remember.
Someone said that.
Cass might have said something about that.
Maybe that's who it was.
Yeah, he hadn't seen anything since then. Yeah. So our buddy Mark was the dirty pirate hooker. He was hunting down at Double Trouble. I guess he saw a couple, but. So Tony and I, we were hunting at Christmas, and so it's just a one man stand, but there's an old wooden stand right next to it. So I'm letting him hunt in the main stand. And so he's got the rifle and I'm in the little wooden stand and just kind of glassing around looking for stuff. And then, you know, we've been up there probably an hour and a half and all of a sudden I see some movement off to the right. Here comes a deer, good sized deer. Can't tell what it is. I'm like, Tony, look. And then he sees it and it's a little buck coming through. I can't quite tell how big it is.
Yeah. So I'm, how far out was he when you first saw him? Roughly
60 yards, maybe.
Okay.
50, 55. And so he's coming in a little bit and then, you know, I'm glassing him. So I see him and he's coming in and then I'm like, Tony, look, deer. And so I pull out my phone cause I'm going to try to video it. Right. Cause I mean, he's got the rifle and so, you know, I've been taking him out since he was five, but he's never actually had the chance to like pull the trigger. So, he sees him, he's got the rifle lined up and I didn't get the video going in time. He pulls the trigger and boom, there it is loud. And I thought he missed it.
Yeah.
Because the deer started running towards him. I'm like, Tony, shoot him again.
reload.
And he can't get the bolt.
Oh, no.
It's like not working right. He couldn't get it loaded up again. And then all of a sudden, like, but the deer's acting a little funny. And then he just crashed. I'm like, you hit him, Tony. You got him. Like, because I didn't think he hit him.
Yeah. Did he think he hit him? Like when he shot or did he
know? I don't know. I'm not sure, actually. I think he thought he wasn't sure. He just said adrenaline was really pumping. He was like, just, he said he was just thinking, don't miss, which is great. So, and he made a really, really good shot.
That was a nice shot.
Through the lungs and I guess into the shoulder and out the
other
side.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
I mean, he ran about 15 yards and crashed out. And like, I was so excited for him because, I mean, he's wanted to get a deer for a long time and been out here hunting with this.
Yeah, that's
so
awesome.
Long. Yeah, I couldn't have been more proud. So, we climbed down from the stand and went over there and got a picture.
I mean, that probably feels just as good or better from you shooting your own.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
so,
really.
So earlier this year, I bought one of those draggers.
Yeah.
It's like this pole with a strap. And so I wrapped it around it. So I had to pull it out to get out near the trail. So then.
Oh, did you use it?
Yeah.
To pull it work? Out.
Really good.
Really?
Actually, a lot.
I've heard they work well.
Yeah. Well, you hooked it to
I hooked it to its antlers.
Yeah. So if it didn't, if it was a doe, what would you have done?
You wrap around its
neck. Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently. Okay. So I mean, you know, it was a very big bodied 4-5 point buck.
Yeah.
So you know, a little small. Like I wouldn't have shot him, but I mean, for his first year, all good.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, a lot of meat on it.
Popped his cherry. So nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, good stuff. So, yeah, so then I went up to go get the truck to drive it down so we don't have to try to drag it all the way back up to the cabin.
About to throw my shoulder and carry it up, but
that was a heavy deer.
It was very heavy.
You're waiting for the morning for that.
That's right.
Big body deer. I mean, what did we weigh out the meat after we cleaned it up? It was like 90 pounds.
Yeah.
So, with the bones and everything else, it was 200?
I'm thinking of the one last year that was like, I think 190, and
do we weigh him?
That was
a big deer too.
I don't know. He was probably pretty close.
Yeah.
Probably just shy.
Let's call him 185.
I would say 185.
Okay. 185.
I could see 185.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's a good deer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then apparently a doe ran right back, and I had the rifle. So, when I was going up to go get the truck, and so Tony could have shot a doe too.
Oh, he actually saw a doe run through?
That ran through.
Yeah. No, he told me.
Within 10 yards of him.
Yeah, oh he's gosh. Like, I saw a doe. It started going towards Old Metal, which is where you were.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's like, go. I was like, all right, I'll go try and find it. So then that's when I was like, well, I'll start trying to push it towards you.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
But I never saw anything.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, but apparently the doe is one that Cassman, he could have shot. So he was just telling us the story earlier this evening because apparently, so he saw it and he went to shoot and his gun misfired.
Oh, I heard him say
that. That was that doe.
Yeah, that was the same doe.
That was the same. Up the trail. Wow.
And that's so it was big enough to shoot.
Yeah, it was a shooter.
He just didn't get a chance to
He pulled the trigger and he said the gun screwed up.
Yeah.
He said that like apparently the round that he had in, like the firing pin hit it. And
oh
it
my
just didn't
gosh.
Shoot.
That's crazy. That's some terrible luck.
Wow.
Well, it happens.
Yeah.
Wow. That blows.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
It's, you know, it's all part of it.
Get back out there and do it again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. For sure. So then we spent the past, you know, hour and a half, maybe cleaning up, gutting it, got it up, had to call it in, tag it, all that fun stuff. And then
cleaning up, making dinner.
Oh, yeah. We had to wash dishes and then clean up, make dinner. What do we have for dinner?
Are we calling it?
It's homemade
stew,
deer can't.
I don't know
stew.
What we're soup. I mean, we use some venison from some you know venison like deer sausage that from last year.
There's some barbecue in there.
Put a little barbecue. We put a whole bunch of like bone broth and like some Kettle and Fire chili and tomato soup and a whole bunch of stuff.
Bunch of Tabasco. Was it Tabasco?
Cholula,
light job.
A bunch of seasonings.
Yeah.
It was good.
It turned out really well, considering all the random things we put in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it might need to be good. A deer camp staple.
Did you say beans? Put in
bushes baked beans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'd eat it again.
I mean, you know, just toss everything in there.
I mean,
see what happens.
Those ingredients, it's hard to mess it up.
Yeah.
It's hard to mess it up. There's some cheese and sour cream on it.
That would have been good.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Maybe some carrots.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
I'm getting hungry again.
Let's go.
Let's make another stew. So what's the plan for tomorrow?
Bag them, tag them.
Me, see some deer. I mean, it's amazing the difference. Like, so with George, we were hunting in the enclosed box, the hunting box. And like, even if you open the windows, you just don't feel like you're outside. Like when I was sitting in Old Metal, I was like, oh my gosh, I can hear everything. Cause it's so, even with the windows open, like it's very soundproof.
Yeah. You got to rely totally on your eyes.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And I feel like when I'm in a stand, I rely heavily on my ears.
So I totally agree. Like yesterday morning, that's almost entirely what I was relying on, especially early morning when you can't see that much yet. However, it was so windy this afternoon.
You can't hear that much.
And because it rained so much, it's so much quieter.
Yeah.
So then you're forced to rely upon your eyes looking for movement. But that's even harder when it's windy because leaves are moving,
that's a good point.
Grass, et cetera. So that makes it a lot harder.
Yeah, that is, yeah. But no, it was nice to just sit in the stand.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some squirrels running around. That box sounds
pretty cozy. I'm not going to lie. I haven't hunted up there yet.
Hey, oh. Well, I mean, early morning. Like,
yeah, early morning, I don't think I want to be there.
It's amazing
you do?
The difference.
You do want to be there? No, why?
No. I mean, how many years have we been coming here and haven't seen a deer in that field yet?
Do you remember the first year when we saw all those deer in the field?
I don't remember that.
Was it cut?
All those ran across?
Yeah, it was cut. But that's when you planted a bunch of stuff.
That was before I planted anything. Really? Yep.
I don't remember that. I didn't see that.
You don't remember that? Because you guys were coming down from Double Trouble, and there was like four deer that ran across the field, and like we had multiple shots. We couldn't take it because they didn't stop running.
I don't think that was me.
That was definitely you.
I almost feel like they're just closer to the river.
I think that was actually when you and David were both in the stand.
I can't remember that far back.
I could believe that.
You might be right. I have no idea.
It's honestly. Only like 5 or 6 years. That yeah. Long, but still.
Yeah.
I don't know. I got one more shot of this before I have to go back to Texas. So
yeah,
I need to pick a prime location tomorrow morning. Just
prime stay location.
Put. Yep.
Stay put.
Yeah. Well, it'll be a good time. I'm planning to hunt. I think boundary stand tomorrow. I'm not sure yet. We'll see. I know Joey wants to. Take a shot at getting a deer, but the boys got to head back tomorrow anyway. So we'll see.
I think it's supposed to get a little bit chilly tonight, which will hopefully help things.
Yeah, I think there'll be more movement. I think we'll have much better luck tomorrow morning than we did this morning.
Of course, seeing that buck chase that doe this afternoon makes me think the rut is still on, but then not seeing that much later. We may be nearing the end of it and they're starting to lock down.
Yeah.
Which there may not be as much movement. So who knows?
Yeah, that's true.
But then, you know, that little buck that Tony got could still be just, you know, searching out does.
Yeah.
So
could we'll get see. Some stragglers.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be fun. We'll
find out.
Fun either way.
Yeah. Guess we will find out.
Yeah. I think that's the, I think it was a few years ago. Maybe 3 years ago, I've come to deer camp, and I think it was the year that no one got anything. And
was that 2 years ago?
Maybe it was 2 years ago.
I think it was.
I think you're right.
In 2018, I think. Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right.
Because I was here.
Yeah, and I think with deer camp, like it's it would be easy to say like, oh my gosh, like no one got anything. Like, was it even worth it? But like. It's just
fun. It's always worth it.
Oh, it's just so tons of fun. Like even just sitting in the stand and just like listening and watching and getting to see some deer here and there.
So I'm trying to think back to 2018 and I'm having trouble remembering exactly everything that went on that year. But how many deer did we see? Do we see a lot and we just let a lot pass by? Because I mean, we're always pretty particular.
I don't think we saw that many.
I don't think
many.
We saw many that year. I think
it was just a very slow year.
Wasn't that the year that there's that weird super moon? You guys remember that?
Was that during deer camp?
I think it was. I'm pretty sure because if it was 2018, I remember I had a coworker who loves to hunt and hunts a lot, and he was talking about opening weekend and this super moon, and a lot of other people that I talked to, I'm pretty sure it was 2 years ago, like not many people saw much activity at all.
See, and I thought that they were supposed to move more when there's a super moon going on, like the brighter it is, because then they're more likely.
I don't know. I've heard mixed things. Like it messes up their normal patterns and
their night vision.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. There's a lot of speculation with all that.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
It was definitely 2 years ago. I think we had, wasn't Joe and Josh, weren't they both here?
I
think they were.
But that had been 2 years ago.
Yeah,
Joe was here last year. Was he here 2 years ago?
I thought he was.
Yeah, I think you're
right.
I
can't remember. Was Josh here too?
I kind of thought.
Nah,
I don't know what that's Tony. Tony would remember.
That's right.
Yeah, he's
good memory.
He's got the best memory here, and he's working on the book to commemorate everything. So, the book of bucks.
Book of bucks.
Books.
But even if nobody sees anything and nobody shoots anything, like it's still just an incredible time.
Yeah, I mean,
across the board,
tell stories, bust some balls. We eat really good, drink even better. hang out in nature. I've always said, I mean, the best part is just sitting a stand, just watching nature wake up in the morning, you know?
It's super cool.
The squirrels come out. It's always interesting to me where you can hear the squirrels when they're coming out of their nest, when they're waking up.
Yeah.
And then, you know, oh man, I'm not going to be able to hear deer now because those damn squirrels are being so loud.
Yeah.
But I mean, you can always tell, and it's pretty interesting that you hear the birds waking up and, you know, singing, making noise, all that stuff.
Getting ready for the day. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is pretty neat.
Yeah. It's always just fun just to be in nature and, you know, reconnecting with where we came from and hopefully being the opportunity to harvest a nice deer. But
is there particular gear after this weekend up to this point that you think I should either upgrade or I need something else or need more or need, I don't know.
That you do?
More, like, no, in general, is there some specific, you guys in general, is there some gear that you're like, I wish I had this or... This didn't work as well as I thought. I wish I had a different kind or upgrade, whatever the case.
I think that question that you're asking means that there is gear that you think that you need to change or upgrade. So let's hear.
Oh, there's a ton. I have a long, long list.
I'm going to think about it, but let's hear your thoughts, Adam.
From skinning knife to... new boots, some new camo.
All right, what new camo do you want? What are you using right now, and what do you want to replace it with?
So, currently, I have Under Armour.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that?
Under Armour pant, and I mean they're working all right, but they're not great. They get stuck going through, you know, thorns or bushes, trees, whatever.
Are there any that don't do that though?
I believe they are. I don't know for sure.
Who makes them?
So I don't want you to quote me on this. But so I have a couple.
I'm going to quote you.
Put me on the spot. Yeah. I have this brand, which I need to look it up. I have a couple of their pairs of pants. I have not looked to see if they have camo pants.
Okay.
Specifically. But the material that they have.
Is it quiet as well?
The material, yes.
Is it? That's nice.
Wait, you've tried them on before, actually.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to remember the brand. I can look it up. It's a very strange name.
Does it have like a T and
what,
an X?
What
and...
kind of stuff do they make?
I'll tell you. Well, so they have...
Do they make actually, some like, tactical
the,
stuff?
The swag roll that I showed you. It's the same brand. I'll show you.
Okay.
So they have this... Actually, this is another piece that I want. They call it a swag roll. It's basically like a... It's a poncho... It's a tarp. It's a sleeping bag. It's an outer layer that you put on. It's got a hood.
It's like a bivy?
It's like a combination because like, you can unzip you can it wear, and reposition kind of. It. You can wear it and you can also use it to sleep. And
it's an interesting idea.
It's basically like a one-stop shop in regards to like being outdoors with you. Let me see if I can... I'll tell you the brand in just a second. But... That would be another piece of gear. That would be an hour layer for like this morning when it's raining. You throw that on, and it would protect you from the rain.
Oh yeah,
because it kind of overlays, and you could even put like if you have your bag with you, you put it underneath you,
right?
From that.
So why are you looking that up? What other gear though?
The other gear would be
because you said skinning knife.
Yeah, skinning knife.
What were you using, and what do you wish you had?
I was using that little Gerber skinner.
Okay.
Which...
You liked it or no?
No, it wasn't great.
Okay.
Granted, yeah, you could sharpen it, make it a little better, but...
Sure.
I think having a hook is huge.
You like having a hook on it?
Yeah, having that option I think is good.
So, do you...
Whether it's separate by itself or with it, I just didn't have it in it at all.
So, Benchmade makes a mountain skinner that has a hook on it.
Yes.
Oh, they do, don't they?
Yeah.
I did, yeah.
Something like that? Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah.
I feel like that's such a individual preference.
Yeah.
Like, some people love them. Some people just
I mean, it's a convenience, but I don't know if it's necessary.
Yeah.
I don't think it's necessary. I think it can help. I think it's...
I mean, you can definitely unzip them a lot quicker.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, you got a decent blade. You can
pull up on the skin. No, if you have a decent blade and it's sharp enough, you're going to be fine. A saw, I need for a saw, like the chest cavity. Like,
oh, yeah. Like a bone, that, yeah. bone saw.
Yeah. Yeah, like the little one the Castman had. That was cool.
Yes.
I'm not sure what that was. I mean, the problem is, because those are all serrated, how do you sharpen that thing? That's a pain in the ass to do.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sharpening. I mean, like those double teeth. Or, yeah. I'm not sure.
That's part of the problem with serration is getting hard to sharpen. Right? Yeah. After it gets dull.
Yeah. It's a tough one.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, are you looking that up, Adam?
Yes.
David, what gear do you think that you,
I mean,
you felt like did a really good job this weekend so far, or that you feel like you need to trade out or you want to upgrade, et cetera?
I've been on the bino hunt for a while.
Yep.
So that'll definitely be an upgrade from next year.
What are you looking at right now?
Because
you tried out my Zeiss.
Yeah, those are nice. Those are nice. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've looked at anything from Vortex to Leupold to Maven to Carson to
Carson.
That's another
I'm not familiar with those.
It's not a real well-known brand. So I don't know yet. I've played around with a few.
You're not going all the way to Swarovski?
Not yet. Not yet. I don't know. We'll see what I land on. I mean, I have a Leupold rangefinder that I love. Yeah. That works really, really well. So I could see myself landing with some Leupold binos, but we'll see.
Vortex makes nice stuff. I seriously looked at those.
Yeah, people really seem to like their stuff. I've played around with some of their binoculars before.
You know, you can get those binos that have the rangefinder built in.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about it.
Yeah,
I know it's definitely like convenient
because then you don't have to have
it
two
is.
Separate units.
I don't know. I've heard it's like a newer technology. I just don't know if they have it perfected yet.
Yeah,
that it works super well. That's kind of one drawback I've heard. So I mean, if they've got it hammered out where it works well, that I mean that would be nice. That way if you're glassing, you just use your rangefinder. But that's one thing. What else? I need to get a new bowstring for next year.
You weren't bow hunting though.
Not yet. Still a couple days left though.
Well, still rifle season, so
true.
You're trying to get some meat for the freezer. So.
True. I'll probably upgrade my boots next year. Probably.
What are you looking at?
I don't know yet. I'm in the early phases. I mean, I know people really like Crispies, Schnees. People really like.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know yet. Early phases of looking into that. What else? I would say those are the two big things.
Yeah. Here's that. I found that brand. Okay, Helikontex.
Yeah, that's right.
Helikon. Dash TEX. There's the.
Okay, cool.
So it's basically like an overlayer and it's.
Kind of like a poncho. Thing.
Yeah, it's like a poncho. It's thicker, it's warm, but it also has the capability of turning into.
Do they call that a watchman's jacket or something like that?
Maybe so. I think I have seen that.
Watchman's like from Game of Thrones?
Yeah, something like that.
I don't know. I feel like I've heard
it. Doesn't look like it, but.
I don't know. I feel like
so, but this comes in different colors, but it comes in camo. It comes in black and like tan and.
What camo pattern?
I'll show you.
Well, okay.
Well, hey, there's a couple different ones, actually.
Okay, here. This is a good question. What camo patterns are you guys digging right now?
Man. That's a good one.
Come on
I
now.
I mean, I think Sitka has good camo patterns for whitetail.
You like theirs?
Yeah, I think they do a really good job. I think First Light does a good job.
Mm-hmm. Which ones?
It's the.
I like the Fusion.
Fusion, yep, yep.
Yep.
Fusion,
I have one of
really good.
I have one of their pullovers.
Yep, yep. That's a good one. Mm-hmm. Cryptic does make the.
You like the Highlander, or the Dalwar? The Dalwar is the lime, and not the. What's the camo pattern? The one that I'm thinking of.
I can see the other one, but I can't. I forget the name.
Yeah. What is the name of that? I don't know.
Anyway,
I like the Highlander.
Yeah, pattern. That's a good one. No, I think those three are. I don't think you can go wrong with those.
I mean, there's always the old standby, like Realtree and what's the other one?
Oh, dark something timber. There's a
yeah, I can't think timber. Of it.
Adam, do you ever young Jamie reference? Pull that up?
A little Logan or Rogan reference there.
Rogan's Jamie. We need a little Jamie over here. It could be Tony.
Do some fact checking.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, except we don't really have Wi-Fi out here because we're recording this from the cabin.
True.
There's no electricity, no running water.
Yeah, it's the beauty of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
What we're recording this in the dark right now.
What camera patterns are you liking, Seth?
I like. I'm digging First Light's Fusion pattern. I mean, and I like Kryptek's their Highlander. You know, I've been using that for a few years, and I dig it. I mean, I'm not super particular about it. I mean, because at the end of the day, I think that its smell is probably a little bit more important than sight, as long as you're breaking up the sight pattern. I don't know that it's that big a deal. I mean, it's also, you know, I feel like a lot of these more modern camo patterns, whether no matter what the company is, whether it's Sitka or Kryptek or First Light or whatever, they're not quite so like redneck looking, I guess, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, yeah.
For where sure. It's just like, okay, I'm in the deep south or in Alabama or Mississippi or whatever, and that's all I wear, and I'm going to Walmart and whatnot. I mean, because, you know,
no, you're right. It changes the perception.
No, there's definitely a perception because it looks a little bit more modern, but I mean, and then there's also like the military camo that's like the I don't even know what you call it. It's like a pixelated weird thing that I don't like those either.
Because they changed that quite a few they keep years changing ago.
It. Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, it's not like the jungle fatigue type camo, right? Like from like the Vietnam era and all that stuff, or you know, whatever. But because I mean, you can get away with it for wearing it for different things, like just everyday stuff, and it looks cool, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
I remember growing up when camo shorts were in style. Remember that?
Oh my god!
There's like a period where that was
that
like
was the never in style.
Thing. It was, yes, it was.
Yeah, it was. Actually. It was. You could buy them at American Eagle or Abercrombie. Yeah.
But for our age range, it wasn't.
No one actually wore those.
Yes, they did.
Tell you, man.
I did. So that's what matters.
American Eagle, you could buy them all day.
Yeah, you really could. But Dave, yesterday we were literally just talking about, we were like sitting there looking at our camo, and they were like, we have these really bright vests on, really bright orange hats, and we're like, what? Does it really matter what camera you really have?
Because we were talking about the deer, how well they blend in their tan.
Yeah, we're like, why are we wearing this when this isn't even matching the trees and like,
why don't we just wear khaki?
You're wearing that to stand out so you don't get shot.
No, not the orange. We're talking about the camo. We know about the orange.
Yeah, got it.
We're saying like the deer, they're so camouflaged in this, especially where we are right here. Mm-hmm. And we have completely different coloring on the deer. Like,
well, but remember, we're in stands and we're higher up, so it's getting camoed against the trees and the brush and things like that. And they're down, like lower down, like in the grasses and things like that. And it's really interesting, especially when you're sitting a stand and you're glassing things. You know, like, and I've been doing that all weekend because this is the first year that I had like a really good set of binoculars. The Zeiss HD Conquest is what I got. And so just looking, and because a lot of the oak trees, so they still have leaves on. Everything else, all the leaves are gone. But it just looking through, and you can see how easy it is for them to get camouflage within that.
Right.
Because all the sticks and the brush and the leaves and the trees and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But it's different for them looking at us, like up in the trees, which deer aren't typically looking up.
Sure.
Which I think we're on Castman's Rock when we were talking.
Yeah, that, I think that's why. Because we're like looking around, we're like, we're in plain view of any deer that looks up.
Well, see, but that's the thing. Like when Joey and I were sitting out there at Castman's Rock today, you know, we had that little, you call it a blind?
I don't know what you call it. But
it's kind of like a blind. It's like a half blind. It's basically like a little fence that goes around you.
A quarter blind.
And so they're not seeing anything. I mean, they're seeing your heads when, which are, you know, we're wearing an orange hat and whatnot.
Right.
But today, anyway, their heads are down. They're sniffing the trail. The bucks are looking for does. The does are looking for food.
Yeah.
And then they're trying to get wherever they're going. And so they're not even paying attention.
Yeah.
It was also pretty windy, and the wind was in our favor. And it rained a lot, so it wasn't the leaves weren't crunching that much. So, it was just kind of a different environment, too.
Yeah, right. That's true.
Have you guys ever looked into, I think it's called a hex, if I remember correctly. And it's this base layer that you can wear. A lot of, well, not a lot, but some bow hunters swear by it, that it, I can't remember all the technology, but it blocks like some sort of radio frequency that we put off that supposedly deer can sense.
We're putting off a radio frequency?
It's something, like I said. I'd have to reread it, but
I'm not familiar with
this. No, but that sounds pretty fascinating.
Well, there's some bow hunters that swear by it and say they can get like super close to deer with this. And it's like a base layer.
That's really interesting. Yeah.
So it's just a base layer? They're wearing something over it or what?
The stuff that I've looked at has just been a base layer that you wear.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting.
It's called Hex.
I'm pretty sure that's what it is. I'd have to go back and look. It's been a while since I've actually looked into it.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that. Interesting.
Yeah.
I'll have to check it out.
Yep.
Okay, so any other gear that you guys wish you had? Or you want to change out?
It's a continuation.
Yeah, it's an ongoing learning and after research.
Your camp, you do a lot of reflecting.
I mean, this is the Rewild Gear podcast, so.
Yeah.
Or we're calling it the Rewild Hunting podcast for this weekend, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think my two big ones from the weekend, as of now, are the binos and boots.
Gotcha.
But we'll see what the weeks
I will
bring.
Say that, so helping my son skin out the deer that he got tonight using that Argali knife was fantastic. Super sharp, super lightweight.
Yeah.
Really, really impressed with that. I can't think of the model name, but they only make two different ones right now. But I was very impressed with that.
It's a nice knife. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I used it for a little bit.
Yeah. And this is the first year that I've ever hunted hardcore with a set of binoculars. And so those Zeiss Conquest HDs, and I was using a marsupial bino case for it, like a chest rig. That worked really well. It got a little hot while hiking up and down the trails and stuff a little bit, but it was nice.
Would you change anything with that marsupials glass pack or?
Oh yeah, for sure. The binos fit in there well, but yesterday morning it was a little chilly still because I think it got down to like 31 or something. So not super cold, but in the morning it was still a little chilly. So I wish it had like Molly webbing underneath so I could run like a hand warmer through just to attach.
Oh, yeah, that's a good
idea. That would have been really convenient. Maybe some additional attachments on the side where I could put like a call or something, or like a grunt call or something like that in. Just additional attachment points would be nice.
Does it have a spot for like a rangefinder on the side at all? Or
it has a little pocket. But it's
whether you could fit one in or not.
Yeah, you can't fit a rangefinder in there. Gotcha. I mean, because I've seen some where they do have like an attachment point for a rangefinder.
Yeah.
But I'm only going to do that if I'm bow hunting. If I'm rifle hunting, I'm not, at least not here.
Right.
I mean, if I'm out west, then yeah, sure.
Yeah.
But I'm probably ranging it a lot more before. I mean, because that's more spot and stalk anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Different style.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Which is what I would love to go do next.
Yep. That'll be coming up.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. All righty. Well, it is getting late.
Yes.
I'm tired.
I'm tired. I'm beat.
Any last thoughts for anyone?
No, I mean, there's always tomorrow where we may or may not be successful and get another deer or two.
That's right.
Hopefully. Yeah. So, you know, we got lots of product things to work on as well. We still have to finish going over the cookware stuff.
Yeah.
It's going to be a late night.
Oh, boy. The bane of our existence.
We're getting there with it.
Yes, all right. Yeah. But the knife is coming along pretty well, so we're getting real close. Yes. All right. Should we wrap it up?
I think so.
All right.
Until next time.
Until next time.
Stay wild.
Let's do it.
Be good.
Peace.
Thanks for listening to the Rewild Gear Podcast. You can check out the show notes for today's episode at rewildgearpodcast.com. If you're ready to spend more time in the wild, our line of high-quality, minimalistic outdoor gear can help you do just that. Check us out at rewildgear.com.